welcome to the Legacy Music Hour. My name is Brent Weinbach.
Rob F. Switch.
This is the Video Game Music Podcast, focusing only on 8-bit and 16-bit era video game music. This is episode 110.
It sounds like a free play to me.
That's right. Before we get to the music, I just wanted to mention a couple things. There was a suggestion from listener John. This isn't this John from Des Moines.
Say John.
Not him. Yeah. Different John. He suggested that we set up a poll for each episode where the listeners can vote on what their favorite or their top three tracks from every episode. And, you know,
top
see what
three.
Yeah, see what comes in. You know, see what ranks
top three.
How about
we just do the top? It'd be easier. That'd be an easier poll.
Just favorite track?
Your favorite track, and then we would know what the top three are from all listeners.
Well, if you do top three, you can just add them up, and you can find out which gets the most votes.
I'm not doing that.
Oh, you mean they just pick one, and I see what you're saying. And then you can still come up with the top three after
right,
that.
Exactly. Yeah. The top three overall.
Right.
Instead of top three individual. Well, don't get me wrong. I would like to know. You can always put your top three individual, but if you put your top choice.
Yeah. I think that sounds like a fun idea.
Yeah.
I like that idea. So, go ahead. I mean, I guess, I don't know if there's any specific kind of poll thing we need to set up.
I think there is through our server. We can something up.
Oh, is that true? Well, if we don't figure that out by, you know, the time this episode goes up.
Right.
Just put it in the comments section.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess. Or if you know, yeah.
Yeah, let me see if
you have some special ways.
Let me see if I can poll it.
All right. So that, yeah, I like that suggestion. That's a good suggestion. So thank you, John. All right, and then, because that's kind of what we've been doing, I feel like the last few episodes, it's been like that kind of, you know, oh, this track is, you know, drawing game, this is a good track, this is my favorite track,
right,
or whatever,
right.
You know, or Smurfs, this is my favorite track. Okay, so, I realized recently that we didn't check out the Sesame Street games for the TV show's episode.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway, I missed that, you know.
Right.
That's some music by David Wise, you know.
We'll have to check it out.
You've already
checked it out.
No, a little bit. I checked it out a little
bit. I'm going to get into that.
I recently discovered, you know how a lot of games have SD in front of them?
No.
SD, you know, you haven't noticed that? SD Gundam Wing or, you know, SD...
I haven't really...
Kamen Rider SD or whatever.
We're talking Super Famicom over here.
Super Famicom, different, all kinds of... Even, no, Famicom.
Genesis?
Famicom,
Genesis?
Too.
You're talking about Sega Genesis?
Maybe Genesis, too, yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, Mega Drive, I would
Mega
say.
Mega Drive.
You see it on a lot of Japanese titles.
Okay.
SD. I finally found out what SD stands for.
What's that?
Super Deformed.
Super Deformed.
Yeah, and what that means is it's a style of illustration or where the it's like an art style where they take characters and they make them kind of dwarf like you know, they make their arms stubbier and they make their bodies really short.
Okay.
You know, and it actually makes them look cute. They kind of cuticize these characters.
Okay.
So that's known as super deformed. And that's when you see SD on a lot of these games, that's what that means. It means that the games are revolving around these kind of dwarfed versions of these characters.
Okay.
And then one other thing I wanted to mention was the other listener, John, the
Take
one
John.
That is from Des Moines,
right.
Iowa, is he left a voicemail, and he was talking about how, you know, I say the word situation a lot, like,
right.
Oh, this is a... You know, like a whatever, it's kind of like a jazz fusion situation or
sure,
whatever.
Sure.
And he said that that's kind of he started to say it himself.
Oh,
it's
really?
Sort of an infectious
phrase,
I guess, you know, situation. And I just wanted to say that, you know, you're not the only one. A lot of my friends and family have picked up that situation expression also. It is kind of addicting, I guess. And you haven't really used it, but...
No. I think that if two people are together, only one person should be using the situation.
Well, the thing is with some of my friends, they will both be saying situation because they just, you know, we even if we're together.
Right.
You know? But anyway, situation, it's definitely a thing.
I like how you use it even... say when we're eating something.
Yeah.
You look at the sandwich and you'll say, oh, how am I going to handle this situation? Or look at this avocado situation. Something like that.
Yeah, right? sure. Yeah.
I've been trying to use occurrence.
And sometimes I say it without the signifier. I don't know, whatever. I'll sometimes just say, oh, this is a real situation right
okay,
here. Or, this is
right.
a real situational situation. Sometimes I say situational right. situation.
I said I've been trying to use occurrence. It just hasn't really taken off, hasn't caught on like I'd hoped.
this is a real kind of jazz fusion occurrence.
Not so much. Yeah. I'm going to work on it.
All right.
I'm going to work on it.
Maybe you should work on employing situation into your... the way you describe things.
Well, I just told you. If there's two people in the room.
Well, no, I don't mind. I don't mind. I mean, spread the love, you know?
We'll see.
So, and then one last thing is, yes, Strawberry Letter 23, that is the kind of Brothers Johnson track. This is sort of inside for the brother, that one from the, it was the city race or city course from the last episode of the F1 Grand Prix.
Okay.
Strawberry Letter 23, Brothers Johnson. But actually, I think that drawing game, speaking of the drawing game track, yeah. that's kind of reminded me of Strawberry Letter 23, Brother Johnson. All right, so anyway, let's move on to today's episode. As you mentioned, it's a free play episode. It's free play number 11. So let's start it off.
I think I'll do the honors, Brent. I was looking at... some tracks for the Rock episode, and I came across this game, Grindstormer, aka V-5, and this is from composer Masahiro Yuge, who has composed soundtracks on the Genesis/Mega Drive Truxton, Fire Shark, Zero Wing. He's participated in those soundtracks. The track I will be playing from the game Grindstormer is Moon and Stars. Did you have any idea what kind of track this was going to be based on the way I set it up? Were you expecting something different?
I wasn't really thinking too much about
it. Okay. Just because the way I was trying to set it up was, it was from the Rock episode. I was listening to this soundtrack of the Rock episode.
I get it.
The game Grindstormer, here is Moon and Stars.
Right.
I hit the track.
Yeah.
Let me set that up again.
Yeah.
From the, wasn't able to make it on the Rock episode. From the game Grindstormer, Moon and Stars.
Well, I mean, what kind of takes it down a notch, though, is the Moon and Stars part.
Well, right? it can be like Kiss. Like
Moon
a Kiss.
Moon and Stars.
Moon and Stars. I'm going to guess this is the ending track.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It's got a nice, just peaceful situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's nice.
We made it through the grindstorm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of grinding, but we're still here.
And now we're just together looking at the moon and stars. It's a moon and star situation. I want to just make a... By the way, about that whole love Strawberry Letter 23,
right.
Brothers Johnson thing, the listener, Mike, he really hit it, though, exactly with... It's Boys Are Back in Town.
Okay.
That's what that F1, sorry to go back to this, the F1 Grand Prix
from track the last
sounded
episode.
From last episode sounded like. That solo, that's what it really sounded like, was Boys Are Back in Town.
Yeah. I'm talking about this solo right here on Moon and Stars.
I don't know if there is a solo, is there?
Not really. Brent, I just want to shake your hand. That's all okay. I really want to do to this one. Just shake your hand.
All right. Very romantic.
Okay.
All right. Well, I've got a track here from Kishin Doji Zenki, Tenchi Midō. This is for the Super Famicom. It's the Japanese-only release. This is one of these board games. And the composer on this is Goji Tsuno. And this track, you know, the sound design on this one just really sounds high level. It sounds really advanced.
Okay.
And this track just sounds it's a very high-tech sounding track. It's really good sound quality.
All right.
And it kind of reminds me of like 70s electronic music. All right. Here's music from Kishin Doji Zenki Tenchi Midō. From Kishin Doji Zenki Tenchi Midō, music by Goji Tsuno. This is the main theme. I don't think I mentioned that.
Okay.
Main theme. And this track is really impressive to me. It's just technically, you know, especially for a Super Famicom or Super Nintendo track, you know?
Right.
You hear that sort of do 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 do. That to me is very 70s electronic music. You know, it really reminds me of Katrina Krimsky. And I like these this back and forth kind of, I don't know, this sort of back and forth rhythm that sounds really cool too. You know that thing?
Sure, sure.
I think that's really neat too. I think it just has really good sound design on this, you know? The melody isn't like really driving, you know? But I think it's just a neat, you know, sound work, you know?
Yeah. See, moving along, I've got a little Nobuo Uematsu.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time we heard from Nobuo?
Probably flying level. Probably not too long ago.
Okay,
you know? Probably air and sky.
Air and sky.
Yeah, which isn't too long ago.
JJ is the name of the game.
Yeah.
Tobidase Daisakusen Part 2.
Right. That's Mm-hmm.
And this is a Famicom release.
Yeah, and this is, I guess this is the sequel to 3D World Runner. Mm-hmm. It was called that in North America, and then the sequel wasn't released in North America, I don't think. But
okay. This one also, I think, sounds like an ending track.
Uh-huh.
But have a listen. It's very good stuff. You know him. You love him. Nobuo Bumatsu. JJ, a track from JJ, Nobuo Uematsu.
Yeah, you know, Rob told me that this track ended.
Right.
It has an ending.
Yes.
And I just didn't believe him, really.
You didn't. You thought I was a lunatic.
Well, I mean, listen to it. I mean, it just, you know, it sounds like it's repeating and, you know, over and over again.
Right.
You know, but
would you say this?
Well, we continued to listen to it
right
off the recording,
right?
And we off the recording of the podcast, and it actually does end.
Would you say this has that, you know, classic Nobuo style?
No, I wouldn't say so.
No,
sounds like some sort of baby elephant walk or something like that. You know.
Well, I think a lot of his songs kind of especially on the Famicom or the NES, kind of evoke the little. Little baby elephant stroll.
Oh, you think so?
A little bit.
You know what song I'm talking about, right? The baby elephant walk?
No.
This is the actual song.
Oh, there is.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You know, it's you know, some sort of, I think you hear that, you hear it in, I don't know, maybe you hear it in like Austin Powers or something like that.
Oh, yeah?
All right, here comes your ending, I think.
Oh, is this my ending?
It's coming up, I think.
Let's hear it.
Thanks. Boom, right there.
Oh, and that ending actually sounds very African, remember?
What?
We were listening to a track. I think it might have been the World episode.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a part in the song that sounded exactly like that. Like shaving a haircut.
Right.
But then the rest of the song, you said it just has a really African... You were just talking about the song. You said it has a really African beat.
Right. What was that? What track was that? I can't remember.
I said, yeah, especially when it goes...
Yeah.
Very African. It might have been the Pirates episode.
I think Nobuo Uematsu's style really is exemplified with, you know, when he does sort of orchestral kind of stuff, but with a rock beat and a rock bass, you know, sort of okay. A fusion of rock and kind of cinematic kind of classical kind of stuff. I'm going to play a track now from Kingyo Chuiho Tobidase Game Gakuen.
Right.
This is a Japanese only release for the Super Famicom. This is music composed by Yasuyuki Suzuki, and we're going to hear Tetris. This is, I think this is a role-playing game, and it's based on a manga. This is called Tetris. We'll be right back. music from Kingyo Chuiho Tobedase Game Gakuen for the Super Famicom. This is not a role-playing game. This is an action game. I don't know why I thought it was a role-playing game, but it doesn't even sound like role-playing game music. But again, this is music by Yasuyuki Suzuki, and this is called Tetris.
Nice.
I think you get to like play Tetris in the game. And but anyway, this is a real cool track, I think, and you know, definitely has a
jump this part right here. This is what's up.
It's definitely got an elevator sound to it, you know.
Yeah, it's my favorite part of this track right here.
I think my favorite's the beginning. This part right here. I love it when the synthesizer sound comes in right here. This part right here. I love that. This whole soundtrack is pretty good. I love this sort of I don't know, it's very rich. It's very rich with an elevator sound, you know?
Totally.
I mean, you know, rich Super Nintendo music is really good, you know?
I agree. I feel like dancing now. First I felt like shaking your hand, now I feel like ballroom dancing with you.
Mm.
You know what I mean? This is where I lift
this
you up over my head.
This is ballroom dancing.
I feel like ballroom dancing.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Or disco dancing. I just want to lift you up over my head.
Uh-huh.
As that part of the track is playing.
You want to lift me up to the moon and stars?
Yes.
I love that melody, yeah. It's cool. It's cool. It's got a cool beat and everything, huh?
Let's see here. Amazing Tater.
Yeah.
You know anything about this game?
It's like this really good like potato that you, I don't know. It's got like sour cream on it and stuff. Or you have to eat the potato, right? It's like huge. It's like this huge potato. It's got, right, you know, bacon bits on it and stuff.
When you die, you turn into fries.
Yeah, right.
The whole object is not to turn into fries. Mm-hmm. No, it's a puzzle game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a puzzle game for the Game Boy. And I was looking at this for the puzzles episode.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't make the cut.
Uh-huh.
But I've got a track for you now. I've been hanging on to...
Or did it not make the cut, or did it not make the Chris cut?
Oh, I like that. Yes. I did. It did. I've been holding on to this one. And I decided now's a great time to share this little track with you,
mm-hmm,
from the game Amazing Tater, Game Boy. Amazing Tater, known in Japan as Puzzle Boy 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's from the company Atlus.
Right.
That's an Atlus game. So, you ever played a game by the name of Quirk?
Quirk?
Quirk.
Nah.
It's a sequel to Quirk.
Sequel to Quirk.
Sequel to Quirk. So, it's just a nice little triumphant potato song. You know, mm-hmm, what I mean?
Does this game revolve around potatoes?
You play a potato in a puzzle situation.
There you go.
Right. Where you're opening doors and you have to manipulate doors and shapes.
I honestly didn't think it was really about potatoes. That's why I was...
Oh, really?
That's why I was kind of... I was trying to make a joke earlier about potatoes.
No. It's the beginning of this game.
I thought Tater was maybe the name of a character or something else, you know? I didn't think it had to do with potatoes at all. That's why I was talking about potatoes earlier.
No, it's you play this potato, but I mean on the Game Boy, it looks like a little emoticon.
Okay.
A smiley face emoticon. But the idea is you're this potato and you have your friends are other vegetables. Uh-huh. And the idea is to get from one end of the screen to the other, but you have to manipulate blocks and move things in a puzzle-like fashion.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, well, it was pointless then what I was saying earlier. Yeah. Oh.
Well, it almost made sense.
Right.
This is a nice melody situation.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
That's it. I want to make potatoes with you now. Yeah. With you.
Under the moon and stars. So, we're gonna hear next from a game, a Darius game,
okay,
for the Super Nintendo. But you wouldn't know it was a Darius game from the North American release because it's called Supernova, but in Japan it was called Darius Force. So Supernova is the name of the game. That's the North American title for it. But this is a Darius game, and this is music by Kiyoshi Kusatsu, Yukihiko Tanabe, and Yoshio Watanabe. And we're going to hear a track called Peace Destroyer, music from Supernova for the Super Nintendo. Darius Force, known in North America as Supernova. This is music by Kiyoshi Kusatsu, Yukihiko Tanabe, and Yoshio Watanabe. This is Peace Destroyer. And, it's kind of it's not quite a cowbell, but something. You hear that?
Yeah.
Kind of tapping. It's like almost like a bottle tap or something like that. It's not a cowbell, but it's I don't know. I think you can get that noise if you hit the small part of the cowbell.
Okay.
You know.
It sounds like a glass actually.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You're right. It's just it is the more like that. Yeah. I like that riff though. You know.
Yeah. Hey, when I'm stomping peace in the head, that's what I'm thinking.
It's a nice riff.
Sure.
And in the beginning's cool how it starts out too. With that. The glass hit or whatever it is, or the.
You know what that reminds me
small,
of a lot?
The small of the cowbell? Yeah.
Straight up, it's not straight up, but it reminds me a lot of the Bad Dudes.
Oh, yeah.
Stage one song.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. I can hear it. Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Definitely, yeah.
Very reminiscent.
Sure, yeah.
That's good. And you know what? They were fighting for peace, but they were stomping as well. Stomping ninjas.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a track from the game Knight Rider Special, TurboGrafx-16. Mm-hmm. This is a track that I was not aware of until after our TV show episode.
Okay.
And after the Airwolf debacle.
Uh-huh, right.
Okay. Uh-huh. That was unfortunate.
You're never going to forgive yourself for that.
No, I won't. I won't. And you know what? I shouldn't. Uh-huh. I really shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish I would have played this track instead.
Uh-huh.
So to redeem myself, it says here it's called Knight Rider Theme Song.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Right.
So I think that's legit, right?
right. And then in parentheses, TV show.
Right.
Knight Rider theme, and then in parentheses, from TV
from
show.
From the TV show. Direct from the TV show. Okay, so I think here we go. No. Knight Rider Special, this is a track. I don't have a name for it, but this is what should have taken Airwolf's place.
Mm-hmm.
TurboGrafx-16 action for you here only on the Legacy Music Hour. Knight Rider Special track. I mean, Knight Rider Special, a track from Knight Rider Special.
Yeah.
That's what I meant to say.
I get it. Yeah.
Okay.
Get it. The listeners might not have got it. I got it.
Okay, I'm glad. So, listen to the end of this track. What superhero makes that noise? The very last note. Very last two notes. Doesn't that sound like a certain helmeted superhero?
Oh, you think it sounds like Mega Man?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it does, actually. It
reminds me a lot of Mega Man.
Sure, like sure. That. Yeah, it does.
But I like this track. It's got that Knight Rider situation to it. Uh-huh. I like the change coming up right here. It was a Snake Man and Mega Man, right?
Yeah, sure.
So, that's an attempt at redeeming myself for the TV show episode.
Hmm.
But, all right, we'll see.
Well, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to, I'm not judging you.
Hey, that's fine, all right.
You know, we all make mistakes.
Okay.
I mean, I'm guilty too for not recognizing it, you know?
Yeah. Don't let yourself off the hook so easily.
No, I'm not off the hook. But I do have another track lined up.
What you got?
Robotrek.
Okay.
For the Super Nintendo. This is music by Ayako Yoda. And track this is called, no, I'm just kidding.
What was that? What was it all about?
His the last name of the composer is Yoda, so I said track this is called.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
yeah, it's like a Yoda situation,
right? I got that.
This is called Programmer's Computer. This is music from Robotrek.
play now, I will.
Robotrek for the Super Nintendo. Ayako Yoda. This is Programmer's Computer. This is my favorite part right here. Part right here.
I forget what SNES track you play for me that it's the sounds like, or that it reminds me of.
Hmm. The best right here. You hear that flute situation going on in the right ear? That's neat.
Oh, this reminds me of a Mario Kart track you play for me. It's nice. Forget which one it is.
Oh, yeah, that does sound kind of Mario Kart-y right here.
Well, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I mean, this sounds Mario Kart-y, that part just now. It was like, yeah, no, it sounds like, yeah, I'm not sure exactly which, I know what you mean, yeah. I like how the note bends upwards, you know? It's like, dun, 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 dun.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, watch it, here, do it one more time here. I like that a lot right there. It's good. I mean, you know, this could be just the Mario, or whatever, raceway or whatever it is. Or
no, but it's also the song. It's
Oh, no, I know what it sounds like. It sounds like the title screen.
No, because the racetrack is also in the Wii version of Mario Kart. It's the one song that has been, that's the same.
Hmm.
I forget the name of it.
It does sound like Mario Kart, but I think it's the main theme, I think, no? It's not... Oh, it's the main raceway, right? The
main raceway?
Or the one that the... Yeah, the Mario Raceway, or whatever it's called.
Right.
Yeah, I can find it. Yeah, Mario Circuit. I think it's called Mario Circuit, yeah. I don't know. Or maybe it's Koopa Beach. I don't know. It's not Koopa Beach, no. So.
Let's see here.
Oh, you think it's Rainbow Road?
Could it be Rainbow Road?
I don't think
No. I think it's the raceway.
I think it's the Mario Circuit,
Circuit, right.
Mario Circuit.
I'm going to play Sega Genesis. No, Yes. Yes. I was struggling there, Brent. Mm-hmm. You saw that on my face.
Mm-hmm.
Steel Empire.
Mm-hmm.
This is a soundtrack suggested by user, I mean, listener.
Yeah, I like user.
okay, we'll go with user. By user Slick Vic.
Uh-huh.
And it's a Sega Genesis soundtrack. He suggested this, I want to say he suggested this a while ago, even though I only saw it on our Facebook recently. I think he suggested this a while ago. Steel Empire, a.k.a. Kotetsu Te Koku, Steel Empire, Empire of Steel. Composers Isao Mizoguchi, Yoshiaki Kubotera, and Noriyuki Iwadare. And the name of the track, Stage 5-2.
That guy's your buddy, right?
Noriyuki?
Iwadare?
Iwadare?
Yeah.
Right.
He's your friend, right?
Nori? Yeah.
That's your homeboy, right?
Right.
He's your main homeboy, right?
On Facebook, I told you because we broke some news last week.
Yeah.
And because we were chatting on Facebook, like we always do.
Yeah.
You know, he'd be hitting me up all the time. Yeah, but you know, we tag each other in posts, and I share stuff with him on Farmville.
Uh huh.
Right.
Sure.
You know how it is.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Sure.
Right, right.
I mean, I guess. I mean, I don't really, yeah. Uh-huh.
If we were my, well, you don't know because you're not best friends with him, right?
Right.
But if we were in MySpace days, he would definitely be in my top 8.
Right, okay.
Remember top 8?
Sure.
Sure, he'd be up there.
Okay.
Yeah, so. Here is Stage 5-2. Steel Empire, Stage 5-2. And you know that's got that classy Noriyuki sound. Straight up. That actually reminds me of something that could be on a, say, a Lightning Force style soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Although I'll have to ask him if he really did compose this one.
Right.
Still a great soundtrack. Can you hit that beginning? Oh, this part, yeah. Like that bell sound almost. Ding, 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 ding.
All right, I'm going to move on to a game that actually was originally a Slichter Victor suggestion as well. Hyper Zone for the Super Nintendo. This is music by Jun Ishikawa. And we're going to hear Ripple Field. You know, in Kirby's Dream Land 3, which he also did the music to, there's a Ripple Field in that as well.
Okay.
So, some track name crossover there.
Mm-hmm.
and composer. Anyway, so Hyper Zone, Jun Ishikawa, Ripple Field.
Mm-hmm.
Hyperzone, music by Jun Ishikawa. Ripple Field is the name of the track. That bender, nice. Yeah, I love the bender.
Oh, the bender.
Right there. The bender right there.
Right.
Bending situation.
Track six coming up, Brent.
Okay.
Let's see here. What do I do, Game Boy or Genesis? Isn't that the eternal question? Game Boy it is. Another Bible. No. Asmikun World 2. I think I'll go with that one instead.
Okay.
No, maybe I should go with another Bible.
Okay. It's another Atlas.
Ah, I'm torn. Let's go with another Bible.
Okay.
I'm just going to go with another Bible.
Yeah.
Okay, I've made up my mind. Asmikun World 2.
Kun
World.
I think, yeah.
Asmikun World 2. You're right. That's right. Kun World 2. It's a Game Boy track. Here you go. Asmikun World 2. There's a track that has a... Would you say that's kind of a, some scale situation going on? Right?
I don't know. Scale?
Yes.
I mean...
Well, I come up right here. Seems like it's constantly... That's...
I guess I know what you mean.
Some type of situation.
There's some, yeah, it's right. Definitely some kind of situation.
If I had bothered to pay attention in music theory class, I might know what I'm talking about.
It's like a...
It's a, you know, I'm really glad I went with this track instead of my another Bible track.
Oh yeah, how come?
It's just, I think it's more fitting of this episode.
Uh-huh, okay.
Just, I mean... Well,
another Bible, I think, was Manami Matsume.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original Mega Man composer herself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that might have fit, because you had that Mega Man sound
sure.
from the other thing. You know?
Right.
Knight Rider.
But this is just another Atlas track.
Right. No, this is not another... Oh, and it was an Atlas track, the other one.
The other one.
Another
Bible. Oh, yeah, so this one...
So this one just doesn't fit at all.
Doesn't fit at all.
Well, I mean, but no, maybe musically it does. Though.
Musically.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think you're right. It does fit musically.
We're on a roll right now.
Yeah.
We're on some type of roll situation.
Right. Like a roll occurrence.
Oh, wow. It's catching on.
You didn't even notice.
Yeah.
Didn't even notice. Okay, so I'm going to come back to a good soundtrack here. It's called Pebble Beach Golf Links. All right.
I know this.
This is Sega Genesis. Music composed by Shige Kazu Kamaki. And we're going to hear music number six, which I'm pretty sure this is like ending music or staff role or something, you know?
Right.
But I couldn't verify it anywhere. So anyway, music number six, it has an ending to it. So that makes me think it's an ending track. And it's pretty, well, anyway, I'll say no more, but this is a cool track. All right. Pebble Beach, Golf Links. Smooth jazz on the Legacy Music Hour. That was a number from Pebble Beef Golf Links.
Did you say Pebble Beef?
Did I say that? Yeah, that was Pebble Beef. That number was called Pebble Beef. There's music. Okay, so that was by Shigekazu Kamaki, and from Pebble Beach Golf Links. For the Sega Genesis, that was music number six, which I think is an ending track.
Okay.
And it's so funny to me how that ends. There's two things that are happening. First of all, the track is good. You know what I mean? It's really just one of those. This Pebble Beach Golf Links soundtrack is just really just, it's really this jazzy soundtrack, and it's so funny. It's good, you know?
Right.
And actually, let me get it going right now, actually. The end, okay, first of all, that wave thing that comes in,
yeah,
that is just, to me, it makes me think that this composer was listening to the Los Angeles Smooth Jazz Station and was trying to just mimic it exactly, because
right.
That's exactly how, you know, in the sort of late 80s or early 90s, that's exactly how it was on the Los Angeles Smooth Jazz Station.
Okay.
The wave, it's called, you know? So you'd hear the track, and then, you know, it'd fade out, and you hear this wave sound,
sure,
and then
sure.
You'd hear the disc jockey go, you know, or whatever. You'd hear the announcer goes, "Smooth jazz," you know, on 94.7, the wave. And it sounds so exact. It's like, just makes me think that he was really doing some research on Los Angeles Smooth Jazz Radio, you know?
You know, that's not the first time we've heard that style.
With the wave?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course, Last Wave. You talking about Last Wave?
Also, Streets of Rage.
Has a wave. Oh, it has a wave.
Ending.
Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
Good ending.
Right, right. And then the other funny thing, too, is this, there's this solo at the end of this piece, okay?
Yeah.
And the solo gets really kind of crazy in it, and there's a... Here, it comes right here. It echoes. Well, listen for the echo. Watch. It's like this... it almost kind of gets experimental right here. Watch this. It's pretty funny. Watch for the echo. Listen for the echo. right there. Yeah, it's so weird to me. All right, here we go. Watch this. Smooth jazz on 94.7, The Wave. And then it'd go into some other song right there, you know? So I just think that echo thing is so weird and funny and cool.
It's fantastic.
I love that solo at the end. It's good. That track is good.
How many more tracks are left on that Pebble Beef Golf soundtrack?
We've heard now the best three, in my opinion, but there's some good tracks, you know? Yeah,
you gotta hit that again.
Oh, no, we've heard more than that, though, too, actually. I think you've played a track from it. But, no, the menu track and then the whole overview, those are the top tracks, I think, in that soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's good, though. It's a good soundtrack.
Very good. Very good. Let's see. Wolfchild.
Okay, you're going back to Wolfchild.
I'm going back to Wolfchild. Sweet Wolfchild of mine.
All right.
This is a Sega Genesis track, and we heard from a track before.
Yeah.
And this is from composer Martin Iveson and composer Matt Furness.
Right. Matt Furness kind of expanding on his original music from the Amoeba version.
The Amoeba.
for the Beef version.
Stage 1 Wolfship is the track we heard from before. I will be playing now Stage 2 Jungle on 94.7.
The Wave.
Child, and that is Jungle. Fill those drums. I thought this was going to be the track of the episode.
Oh, did you?
But
this track,
yes, mm-hmm. I thought for sure, no doubt.
Uh-huh.
But then you came along with Pebble Beef, and man, I think that's going to be the track of the episode.
Uh huh,
no doubt.
You think that's the one?
Yeah. And that was just the solo, the echo, the waves. I mean, this is good.
The solo, the echo, the waves.
I don't want to.
The echo, like that. But like that helped, that made it, took it to the top, the echo.
Well, let's hit this solo right now. This is a solo right here.
Well, it's short, really short solo,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, short doesn't necessarily mean it's not quality.
I mean, definitely that Pebble Beach, definitely a jam. It was definitely a good jam. It was
no
a smooth jam. It was
no
like a
doubt.
Smooth. It was a smooth jazz jam. You know.
We got some kind of telegraph situation going on here. Morse code situation.
Uh-huh. You know, it's funny. It's like you're kind of jokingly using situation, but before you know it, you're going to start using situation just all the time. You know.
Okay. When that situation happens, we'll talk.
All right, I'm going to play a Genesis track here. Devilish, The Next Possession. This is music composed by Hitoshi Sakimoto, and we're going to hear Waterfalls. Now, this track, I was emailing back and forth with a listener called Ryan, who he made the our website banner for us, you know, that Capcom looking Legacy Music Hour sign.
Right, right.
And he's very familiar with the works of Hitoshi Sakamoto and his longtime partner, Masaharu Iwata. And they both worked on Magical Chase together. And do you remember back in episode 100 when I played that final boss track? I wasn't sure, but I kind of was saying, I think this is Hitoshi Sakamoto. Ryan was saying that, you know, it was definitely Masaharu Iwata. He definitely was, you know, picking up on just various stylistic or, you know, style characteristics of the piece, and he thought it was definitely Iwata. But I think that this track from Devilish, which Hitoshi Sakamoto did alone, it has certain qualities that sound similar to that Magical Chase track, and so I think that that final boss track, you know, could very well have been Hitoshi Sakamoto.
Okay.
One of those characteristics is there's a sort of almost an arpeggio effect situation that you hear in this, and I'm using that situation that time. I'm not even trying to joke when I'm saying
okay,
it.
Okay.
It has this arpeggio effect situation that you hear that in this track, and you hear it in the final boss music from Magical Chase, and it seems like that's just, I don't know, it sounds so similar to me. You'll hear what I mean. So this is Waterfalls from Devilish, The Next Possession. Music from Devilish, music composed by Hitoshi Sakamoto. This is Waterfalls. And you can hear that background kind of arpeggio situation, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I just feel like because he's using it here, and then you hear it in that final boss music from Magical Chase, that I would think that they were the same composer, you know?
Okay.
But, you know, I don't know. The listener, Ryan, he seems to definitely have much more of a grip on Iwata's music.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think there's a lot of other reasons why he was saying that would be Iwata's track and not Sakamoto. I mean, my other argument is I tend to really like Hitoshi Sakamoto's style more. And
right,
this,
right.
And so that final boss track and this are both kind of, I don't know, appeal to my sensibilities more, so
I
that
see.
I thought maybe that was the reason why I live with the same guy also, but... For a full track listing, check out legacymusichour.com. You can email us at legacymusichour@gmail.com. You can comment on the page there, on the episodes,
right?
If you want to create discussion about the music you hear, and
you can also call us 281-SONIC-91, text us. We're on Facebook as well, facebook.com/legacymusichour,
nerdist.com.
Please leave your comments there and rate us on iTunes.
And and then we'll try to set up that poll or whatever.
Okay.
Right.
Yes,
the set up the poll thing.
The top,
you know?
top tracks poll.
So yeah, pick your top track. I guess pick your top track, or
top track.
Okay, and then we'll reveal the top three. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, you can just, it'll probably be revealed on the site, right?
Yeah.
Or I don't know. Maybe it can be a secret. It'd be neat if we can make it a secret and then reveal it on the episode.
Sure.
On the next episode.
Right.
see if we can do that. Okay. And if we aren't able to set up the poll thing before we release the episode, this episode, then just, you know, hey, write it in the comments. You know, we'll do it that way.
Yeah.
The old-fashioned way. Next week's episode will be... This is a tough one. I mean, it's not tough because it's just a lot to cover, a lot of material to cover.
Okay.
Bandai. So, there's a lot of games that... And Bandai was a publisher. They didn't develop any games, but... There's a lot of games they published. You know, they're one of the biggest companies, one of the biggest toy companies in the world. And I'll talk more about them on the next episode, but it's going to be all games that are published by Bandai. And a lot of the games that were published by them were developed by Natsume, Tosei, and what's the other one? Another company that I'm forgetting right now. Oh, Human.
Okay.
And so... So it's kind of a focus on those three companies in a way as well. So check that out next week. A lot of Japanese stuff. And we're going to leave you with... Kirby, you were talking to me about something that you wanted to close with.
For the next one. For the next free play.
For the next free play. So we're going to leave you with Kirby's Dream Land 3. I mentioned that earlier in the show. This is music composed by Jun Ishikawa, and we are not going to hear Ripple Field, but we will be hearing Sand Canyon 1. This is from Kirby's Dream Land 3 for the Super Nintendo. And again, that's music by Jun Ishikawa. All right. My name is Brent Weinbach.
Rob F. Switch.
The name of the program is the Legacy Music Hour. The Legacy Music Hour. Thank you for listening.